Welcome to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Rhonda McBride. We began a conversation on Friday with a group called Protect Juno's Future, which is rallying to fight three cruise ship initiatives that are currently in the petition signing phase. You can go to our Juno Afternoon page and find that interview in case you missed it. But today is our second installment of what we hope will be an ongoing conversation on the big cruise ships and their impact on our community. And joining us, Carla Hart and Sue Schrader, and maybe they are lead organizers of Juno Cruise Control, the group that is organizing this petition drive. But maybe we could start out with you, Carla, and then go to you, Sue, and talk about what prompted you. What was the defining moment that made you want to launch these initiatives?
The defining moment was 2019 in the fall when I spent a summer in Juneau, which I try to avoid in recent years, and just reached the point that I felt I needed to reach out to other people around the world who are impacted by cruise ships and to start talking to figure out what other people are doing, because we've been trying for 35 years and had no success. And so it was a specific moment of a helicopter when I started networking with other cruise activists, and through that network came to meet people and learn about a lot of other strategies being employed and a lot of other problems in the world with cruise industry.
Sue, how about you? What started you on this journey?
Well, Rhonda, my husband and I have lived in Juneau for 30 years. The first 18, we lived on Back Loop, and we were directly under the flight path of the flight seeing helicopters. I was a big gardener back then, and as the years went by and the helicopters got more frequent, it was very discouraging and very unsettling. So I got involved in all of the tourism issues, particularly the flight seeing noise. I was on the flight seeing mediation board that was set up, oh golly, I think around 2000, 2001. And we ultimately moved from Back Loop. And ironically, we moved in West Juneau, even though we're downtown. It's quieter from the flight seeing standpoint, but it has its own impact. So yeah, it was just thinking, whoa, you know, my summers are so negatively impacted. And that was 30 years ago, and it's only gotten worse, unfortunately.
But it seems like there are lots of moving pieces to some of the cruise ship challenges. Couldn't the helicopter piece be resolved without moving, you know, limiting the whole industry? Couldn't pieces of it be addressed?
Well, certainly, and that's indeed what we've been doing since 2000, so for the last 20 years. And indeed, as a result of the mediation, the flight seeing companies chose to alter their routes. So on clear days, when we're not having a lot of clouds, they do fly more over the mountains and less over populated areas. I would qualify that by saying populated by humans. if folks are out hiking, if you're going up to the John Muir Cabin, the Dan Moeller Cabin in the summer, you're still very much hearing a lot of flight seeing. But you're absolutely right. Flight seeing noise is one issue. The fixed wings addressed that issue pretty well a number of years ago. But I think for me personally, the flight seeing noise, and then as you mentioned, so many other aspects of the over tourism are combined.
We mentioned
one of the challenges.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the challenges you get, Rhonda, is as you're building the capacity and there's a market and profits to be made in these activities, there's what's called the tragedy of the commons, where you get more and more entrants into something when you have a market available. And with the helicopters, they can only fly so many remote routes before they start worrying about running into each other, literally. And so if we go up to 2 to 3 million passengers and they want proportionately the same number of tours, you start getting more helicopter tours, more bus tours, more sightseeing into more neighborhoods because they need to create more capacity. And then the whale watching boats and what's gone on at Ok Bay, I think, is another real glaring example of something that we don't have the legal capacity to regulate. It either needs to be voluntary compliance by the operators, or we need to regulate their source of business, which is the cruise ships.
Well, one of the things that we said in our Friday discussion is that we're not at this point going to get down into the weeds and talk about a lot of the details and come back together for another conversation with several sides of this issue represented. But if you could give an overview of the main issues to help us kind of weigh this issue, digest the information we're getting, from your perspective, what are the main points that we need to weigh and learn about?
I think a key point would be that Juneau as a community regulates and plans for almost all types of development, and we consider the impacts of those types of development in considering whether or not to permit them. The cruise industry operates in this really interesting realm outside of so much regulation and control that they have the capacity to bring a town or three or four small towns or five into our community for a day and basically say, we're coming and you need to prepare. And yet, depending on us to have a lot of shoreside infrastructure available for them. So that would be one, is just the capacity issue and the right of the communities to say what we do and don't want and to have some control over what happens in our communities.
Rhonda, I think over the years, many people have consistently spoken about the need for limits. And, you know, there again, that's a topic for a whole nother discussion. But as far as what's motivating us and what's behind these initiatives, it's limits. Yes. I mean, we are not trying to hide the fact we would like to see some limits on the growth, on the number of passengers, the size of the ships. It's interesting, as I've been out collecting signatures, there are two consistent themes I'm hearing from folks that are signing the petition. One is, why shouldn't we get these issues on the ballot? Why can't we vote? The opposition's telling us don't sign. Well, that's taking away our right to vote. And it gives everybody, every voter, a voice. You can vote it down, you can vote it for it. There are three initiatives. You can vote for one, two, or three, vote against all of them, but let us vote.
So let me ask you this. Let me stop you here, because this to me is an interesting question. Why three initiatives? It seems like you have sort of a scattershot approach.
I'd say we definitely have a menu approach. There are three, as people know, who have looked at the initiatives. There are three different initiatives. And it's like, you like free Saturdays, but you don't like 7 to 7, fine. Vote for free Saturdays. It gives people a choice. And that is something that the Juneau residents have not had in so very, very long. I don't think we've ever really had a good choice on how to respond to the growing cruise ship industry.
So let's suppose that the cruise industry looks at this, they've fallen on hard times themselves by not having a season last year. And they say, okay, where are we going to go next? And maybe we won't go to this community that's got this petition drive going. And so in some sense, you may have, even without an election, accomplished your goal. And there are real worries that this petition drive may do that. How do you respond to that?
So Alaska is one of the most popular and profitable cruise destinations in the world. And that's why we're seeing such massive growth. In entirety, the industry is growing globally. But Alaska is an extremely profitable market for the cruise industry because of all the shore excursions we offer, because they can offer higher pricing for Alaska cruises than for some other cruises. So they're here because they're making a lot of money. They're making more money than they can make with other ships at the same time. And it's a competitive market where we see a unity behind the Cruise Line Industry Association and a unity of the cruise industry in some respects. there are three really big players who are all in direct competition with each other for the same people. And then there are some smaller players. So if indeed someone decided to pull out and left us with some capacity that wasn't being used in our port, I strongly suspect that there would be someone else looking who would be interested in coming in. Norwegian Cruise Lines needs docks, their own docks in the region, because they were a somewhat latecomer to the Alaska market, relatively speaking, and the other brands have largely taken up sort of priority at the dock space that exists. So it's a competitive market. We're profitable for the industry. If we maintain the quality of our community as a destination and we get rid of some of our overcrowding that's diminishing our attractiveness to both independent travelers and cruise travelers and locals, then we'll be an even better destination.
So if we begin to weigh the pros and cons and perhaps the potential unintended consequences of some of these decisions, what do you think people need to learn about in this give and take? And if we have a future dialogue, what would you like to see talked about in depth?
I would really like to see an open discussion about the challenges of trying to predict the future. Protect Juno's Future has, of course, widely discussed the 75-78% reduction. The initiatives will take us back to the mid-1990s. That is highly speculative. Let's not forget that the cruise industry is nimble. They are flexible. It might take them 2 years to get their schedules together, but they can schedule ahead. The ships that are coming are bigger and bigger than ever. Even if we get just five ships a day in our harbor, those ships in a few years will be carrying upwards to 8,000 passenger and crew each. So both Juno Cruise Control and Protect Juno's Future are trying to look into that crystal ball and see what the cruise lines will do. But if we can look at the last 20 to 30 years, and we've looked at the numbers, they have only risen, and I believe they will only continue to rise.
So you are saying that the past is a predictor of the future. But is there room for compromise? Do you think that maybe this initiative process might get a dialogue going and maybe hold the city and boroughs' feet to this fire, so to speak, to take some actions to resolve what might be resolved in lieu of imposing harsh restrictions?
This is a measure that's taken with regard for the stress and the challenges that it creates for the community. We didn't just go into this as our first option. We truly have. I started speaking to the assembly in the late 80s, asking for us to plan for our future. And it hasn't happened. We keep kicking it down the road and saying we should do something. We should balance quality of life and cruise industry and independent tourism. We should, but it's never been done. And we've been told that legally we couldn't do things, but in interacting with other communities and other activists around the world, I learned that there are legal ways that you can do things to limit. There are also voluntary ways that the industry, that the same companies that are in Juno have voluntarily entered into agreements or abided by wishes of other communities. The cruise industry divides us and likes us to be isolated. But the truth is that they're reacting independently to each community. And in communities like Dubrovnik, they have voluntarily limited how many ships come into the port. So they have the capacity. We've never practiced our power in Juno to say either you do it or we'll do it. And so hopefully we can have a conversation now where the power isn't all held or perceived to be held by one party. The residents of Juno should have the say.
So To what extent is this a global movement?
Well, it's a global movement to the extent that the cruise industry is very global and visits hundreds of ports around the world. And the type of impacts they have on Juno are similar to or related to the types of impacts that they have on other communities, large and small, all over the world. They're really good at externalizing their costs and maximizing the profits that they retain for themselves. And I meet every 2 weeks with a group of activists from around the world under the Global Cruise Activist Network, and we compare notes and talk about what's happening in different places. And it's amazing how, whether you're in the Caribbean and you're dealing with coral being destroyed, or you're in Alaska and you're dealing with cruise ships plowing through icebergs and seals or whatever, there are environmental, there are human, there are social costs everywhere in the world from this industry, and they operate largely outside of any local control or laws.
Do you expect that this global perspective should be part of the dialogue going forward as people sort this out?
Well, we're all based in our community, so we're community activists who have finally started talking to compare notes. So think of us as the Cruise Line Industry Association of community activists. We finally started talking to each other and realizing that we have a lot of common interests. So I think that the global perspective is important in the sense that we aren't alone, and it's not just Juno. I've had contact from city officials in Ketchikan who are interested in what we're doing. Skagway's talking about limits. It's not just Juno, it's not just Alaska. Seattle's got an interest in cruise limits. So I think we should learn from each other globally. And the climate change impacts of the cruise industry certainly are global. But
I would just add to what Carla's saying, just to clarify that Juno Cruise Control, although Carla and I and others do meet via Zoom with other global activists, Juno Cruise Control is separate. We're independent. We are grassroots, wholly comprised of Juno folks. We get no support, no funding from the global network of activists, which is, I can tell you, a very loose group. So to suggest that there's more, you know, that we're kind of scheming a global takeover is certainly not accurate. We are very much grassroots-based organization here in Juneau.
All righty. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I would really like to see us continue these conversations and have a bit more of an exchange, a back and forth. So I want to thank you very much, Carla Hart and Sue Schrader from Juneau Cruise Control, for being with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda.